It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In the last 10 years, accidents involving gas distribution lines have killed more than 120 people and injured more than 500 others. The problem stems from aging gas distribution lines running below ground across Pennsylvania and the Northeast. Pittsburgh Tribune Review reporter Mike Wershagen has written a two-part series concluding today that looks at the dangers posed by this aging infrastructure. He joins us now in Studio A. Mike Wershagen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
If you have a comment or question, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM. On Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. What questions and concerns do you have about the potential dangers lurking beneath the streets? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Mike Wershagen, what made you look into this topic and at such depth at this particular time?
Well, an editor of mine, Jim Wilhelm, actually had heard of this stepped-up effort to replace some of these service lines and meters on some houses, and we were wondering why. Companies don't tend to spend money on things they don't need to, especially when they're utilities and they've got a kind of a confined customer base there. So we started to look around to see what was happening with the status of this infrastructure. And the more we looked, the more we saw. I mean, it is an awfully large infrastructure that we've got here, and most people aren't paying attention to it because, as somebody said to me, it's out of sight, out of mind.
Well, these pipes are aging as we speak. So let's talk about the dangers here and what the problem is and why there's a problem. What happens as these pipes get older?
Well, as they get older, particularly some of the oldest pipes in the system, they corrode just like any other metal when exposed to the elements. The oldest of the pipes out there are turn of the century, maybe even earlier, and they were in those days made from cast iron.
Turn of the century, as in from the 19th to the 20th.
Correct. Not the current century.
Sure.
Now
that's old.
That is
awfully over a century.
Yes, it is. And a lot of them in those days were made from cast iron, and then they were made from bare, unprotected steel. And you bury that in the ground for long enough, and you put it next to, say, a water line, you're going to see some corrosion.
Now, you say that the location of natural gas distribution lines and where they're leaking is a secret to consumers. People don't know anything about this.
If you ask regulators, they'll tell you, and some gas companies too, they will say that there is a security risk here. You don't want to just throw out a public map of where all your pipelines are because somebody could go after them. Natural gas is incredibly dangerous. It is about 20 times more – it contains about 20 times the energy of TNT by weight. So there is a concern out there that if they tell people where exactly these lines are and where these leaks are, that can be used in some sort of an attack. Now, on the other side of that, you have people like Allentown Mayor Ed Pulaski who say, if we don't have this information, we can't respond effectively when there is a disaster, as they had in 2011.
Right. Allentown, talk about what happened there. This was one of the more recent major accidents within the last 3 years.
Yep, and one of the worst in the last 10. Allentown, on February 9th, 2011, a natural gas pipe that had been laid in 1928 cracked open. This pipe had actually been a problem back in the 70s, and it was slated for, or at least there was a work order put in for its removal in 1979, and then nothing really happened until one day the pipe cracked, the gas leaked into two houses, and those two houses exploded. The resulting fire destroyed a lot of the block around those houses, and all five people inside were killed.
What can you tell us about the way records of the pipelines are kept? It seems a little sketchy here. And apparently some of this goes back to the Civil War even?
It does. It does. There was somebody I was talking to with a local gas company who said when he first came on 20 years ago, they still had some wooden pipe.
Carrying natural gas?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and now that's, that's pretty much been taken care of.
Let's hope so.
Right. But you still do have this very old infrastructure. Now, this infrastructure grew with the country. So here in the Northeast, where we've had cities growing up over a couple of centuries, you've had the energy infrastructure growing right along with them. And just like anything else, as time passes, things get less reliable. So the records for these were, in some cases, created by companies that don't exist anymore. They were you know,
gas companies that went out of business.
Exactly, just the way any other company does. And so over the years, through the generations, these records might be a little spotty in places. Guy Costa, the chief operations officer for the city of Pittsburgh, told me, you know, there's always a line here or there that just doesn't show up on a map.
So the company goes out of business and the records of where the gas lines are disappear with the company, but the lines are still there and potential leaks could be in places where even the government has no idea where they exist.
That is the worst case, yes.
But you're saying that is a situation that exists today in Pennsylvania.
It is. It is.
We are talking with Tribune Review reporter Mike Wershagen about his two-part series that looks at the dangers posed by this aging infrastructure that involves gas distribution lines. Deaths and injuries have resulted from explosions, and as you just heard Mike say, the energy that natural gas holds is, what did you say, it was 20 times the strength of TNT?
20 times the energy and equal weight of TNT.
So there are potential problems with all of this, and as he has said in his story, danger that lurks beneath the streets. If you have a comment or question, if you're wondering about the situation in your part of Pennsylvania, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. What questions and concerns do you have about the potential dangers lurking beneath the streets? 412-246-2002, the number to join the conversation. Again, email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Mike, do we know where the older lines in Pennsylvania are located? What are the particular areas of worry?
Well, we don't know. These records of where these pipelines are kept are, or I'm sorry, of where the pipelines are located are kept by the gas companies. Even the Public Utility Commission does not keep maps of these pipeline networks. The gas companies know where they are. Of areas of particular concern would be Philadelphia, especially. Philadelphia has about 3,000 miles of natural gas lines, and around half of that is cast iron, which is the leakiest, the oldest, and oftentimes the least reliable, the most corrosion prone.
And you reported before that there's a law that stems that came into existence in 2012 that stemmed from the results of these explosions. In some cases, companies' replacement schedules ran longer than 100 years. So the pipe would be there and they say, well, we'll look at it again 100 years from now.
Well,
were they thinking?
It wasn't exactly that we'll look at it again 100 years from now. It's that the cost of replacing this pipe is high.
So they're putting it off as long as they can?
Or they're doing it slowly. We're talking about tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of miles of these pipes. In fact, there's 100,000 miles of natural gas pipe in the country that its age is unknown. We have no idea how all this stuff is. So these companies are moving through this system. And what happened after Allentown was the state legislature allowed them to tack on another 5% to your bill. And they could use that 5% to pull out the highest risk pipe to improve their infrastructure.
Sure. So you're saying that in some cases the length of time it's taken to replace these pipes was not necessarily by design. It has more to do maybe with cost and budgets for companies?
This is, you know, we hear a lot about legacy costs, and usually people are talking about pensions or things like that, but this is probably one of the biggest legacy costs in the United States. It's billions of dollars. To replace all the pipeline in Pennsylvania, for instance, just the high-risk stuff, just the cast iron and bare steel, we're talking $11 billion. And that's if you add up what the state spends on K-12 and higher education, the state government, each year, that's what you would need to do to replace all of this pipe.
And you talked with the local companies around the area, such as Peoples Gas. What does the timeline look like then for updating Pittsburgh's gas lines?
Well, Peoples actually expects to pull the last of its cast iron out of the ground this year, which is pretty good news for the city. There is another 20-year timeline for their removal of the bare steel, the uncoated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Columbia, it's going to be a little bit less for them, but still around that same mark. Philadelphia is going to be much longer.
And you say that the last of the cast iron is being pulled out. So what are the new pipes made of?
Well, in a lot of cases, it's plastic. Plastic doesn't corrode. It can bend much easier. And, you know, it offers a little more flexibility for these companies. The downside is you can puncture it a lot easier than you can a steel pipe. But right now, it is plastic that's going in there.
If it weren't for the law that resulted from these explosions, these tragedies, could that timeline have been longer?
Oh, much longer. In some cases, Gladys Brown, the commissioner with the Public Utility Commission, told me that some of these companies had that, you know, that century timeline for removing all this pipeline. And, you know, even though it has been dramatically cut back in a lot of cases, that you've got now 20, 30-year timelines for pulling this stuff out, as Ed Pulaski, again, the mayor of Allentown, said, that's still 20, 30 years where we got to live with this pipe in the ground.
If states were told to make these changes back in the 1970s, how were they expected to pay for it over time?
Well, they were told – the federal government said that you should be removing these pipelines. And they said in 1970, you can't put bare steel in the ground anymore unless it's cathodically protected. Cathodically protected steel is a process by which they sort of ionize the molecular structure of the outside of the pipe, which makes it less likely that oxygen will bond to the metal. And that's a rust prevention technique. So since the 1970s, they've been saying you really ought to replace this pipe. But again, we're talking about thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of miles, and they've just kind of moved along at their own pace.
And part of the danger here is that I'm going to ask you to kind of clarify all of this, but one of the things that that is injected into natural gas is a smell that if there's a leak, it smells like rotten eggs, and you know that this is happening in your house, and you can call the gas company and get out of the house if you're concerned. But in a lot of the cases, that element is not provided with the gas. So the gas could be leaking. It's odorless. It's colorless. You have no idea that there's leaking gas.
Well, if that – that substance is called mercaptan, and that's what gives it the rotten egg smell. If that is not in the gas, if there's gas being sent to your house that does not have that in there, then somebody's in violation of several laws. Gas companies have to add that scent to it, and it's an early warning system. It's a way of letting you know this thing you cannot see, this thing that is mm-hmm. incredibly dangerous, is leaking into your house and you need to get out. And one thing I would say, you said, you know, call the gas company and get out. Reverse that order. Get out,
then call the gas company. Sure.
And while you're going out, do not turn off a light. Don't touch anything that might cause a spark. Just get out, get away. When you're safe, then you make the phone call.
So bottom line here, Mike, how long will dangerous pipelines remain in use?
Decades. It is going to be decades.
Talk about some of the other parts of the equation. Beyond the cost of managing these replacements, what are the other complications?
Well, for say a gas company, when you dig into where the pipe is, you have to break through city streets, you know, and in a city, that's going to cost quite a bit of money. In Pittsburgh, they require these companies to not just repave the section that they break open, but the entire street curb to curb. So it works out pretty well for the city if they coordinate well enough. If they don't, you just end up repaving a new street. But the cost for these companies add up. So in Pittsburgh, it's around $1 million a mile to replace gas pipe. In places like New York, the American Gas Association told me it could be as high as $10 million a mile. You're diverting people. You're shutting down areas. You are really disrupting some very densely populated areas.
So are there companies that are being more proactive than others in terms of not wanting to wait for decades to get this done if they have some means of replacing these pipes at their disposal?
Well, I imagine there are some companies that would tell you they are being a lot more proactive. Peoples, for instance, has said they came back to that several times in their conversations with me, that they are pulling out the last of their cast iron this year. In fact, they had pulled out the last of their own cast iron last year, but then they bought Equitable Gas, and that came along with some of the other old pipe. But then you have states that are very far ahead of us. There are some states that have totally eliminated their stockpiles of these old pipes. And then there are
– Such as?
Oh, North Dakota, Alaska, some of the places where it's a little easier to get in and get out.
Yeah, these are not the older states like we have here in the Northeast.
No, they are not. Although Vermont seems to have done pretty well with this too. But then on the other side, you've got places like Texas, where you've got more than twice, in fact, almost triple the amount of this high-risk pipe that we have.
What kind of reaction have you had to the series?
Well, it's been kind of all over the map. People do seem to be a little alarmed by this, although it's not like they don't know about it. People have known that this stuff is a problem for quite some time, but it's easy to not think about. It's very easy to not pay attention to something that you don't see. And it's also pretty easy to underestimate the danger that some of this poses. The more we use things, the more we get comfortable with them, the more we think we don't have to worry about them. And it doesn't matter how we think about natural gas. It's going to remain an explosive substance, regardless of how we think about it. So every once in a while, I think something like this comes along that reminds people, this is a problem that we really need to be paying attention to. And if you don't pay attention to it, it will make you pay attention to it.
Pittsburgh Tribune Review reporter Mike Wershagen, who has written a two-part series concluding today on the dangers posed by aging gas distribution lines across Pennsylvania and throughout the Northeast. Mike Wershagen, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll talk with plumbing and heating expert Richard Trethewey from This Old House. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.